Congratulations. You've made an excellent life choice today. You're displaying strong character and good taste in tuning into this infotainment web zone. We're poorly informed, highly opinionated, and hold no topic off limits. This is Idiots Discuss the Universe.
A big part of the Craig story, I would say.
Yeah, that was the episode, I think, wasn't it? How to almost die and get mostly better.
I think that was that episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was the last 10 years, pretty much.
Yeah, I remember when you first told me about that. That was pretty much my exact same reaction.
Whoa, holy, what?
Fuck.
You know, I've rebounded, like, really. I look like my doctor still, like, is amazed that it's...
Yeah.
That I'm still, I mean, because most of the
like
people that...
Probably just super healthy, like, weight range.
Yeah.
Now.
No, I'm just a little bit, like, as far as, like whatever, the body index or whatever.
I'm right, the BMI.
I'm just a little bit above, like, just a little bit in the fatty ding-dong section. Just barely. Just barely.
And here we have our fatty ding-dong section. If you're in here, then you are... Then- human cat.
Like, I made it into normal once, just the top end of normal. But like, again, like I weight train a little bit, so like I'm a little bit heavier than I would be. Like,
you got some muscle mass.
Some muscle. Yeah.
And I'm not built like your average 6'6" person. Like, I'm not built like, I'm not like skinny.
Right.
I'm like,
yeah,
kind of like a normal, just a bigger normal proportioned person.
Yeah. I wouldn't have, like, you don't look overweight.
No, I don't. No. I don't think that I mean, like...
No.
I feel like...
No, I'm...
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I've got, like... I'm 50 years old, and I got a little bit of a belly, but, like, compared to the other 50-year-olds and the other, like, a lot of the 30- and 20-year-olds at the gym, like, I'm... You know, you can see my abs a little bit, you know, and...
Just a glimmer.
Just a glimmer.
A little shine.
Just a glimmer.
A shine of the abs.
But... No, I've always wanted, like, the super, like, abs. Like, that'd be great.
I mean, you're in better shape than me, I think. I think we've talked about this before.
You should come spend $8 at my gym, and we'll have like...
Are you a Hollywood Fitness?
I could go to Hollywood Fitness and just pay, and we could...
Where do you go?
I go to Cascade.
Where no?
It's up on like by Mall 205.
Word.
It's just all old people and me. Because when I went there, I was so like self-conscious about like the way I looked and everything, because like I got so like large from like the water gain and all that stuff, because I gained like 175 pounds in a period of 3 weeks just from
what
water.
The fuck.
And so like my skin almost burst in my chest, so like I've got scars all around my midsection of where my skin stretched as though I were pregnant, you know. And
holy fuck.
That's so...
Yeah, I mean, like,
fucking crazy.
So I won't do the whole striptease, but you can kind of see it, like, on my shoulders here, like...
Oh yeah,
where like
a little bit of the stretchies,
just the swelling in my on my shoulders was so much.
Oh, watch out.
And then I was on so much. When I had the stroke, they turned off my immune system so it would stop attacking my kidneys with these cancer drugs, and that caused me to have stroke, but that's a whole different deal. But like, yeah, so
that's amazing.
Yeah, but made it through most of that.
Yeah, and you wouldn't know,
huh?
Like, yeah. You wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know.
That's why everyone's always like, "What the fuck?" Like,
no,
yeah. People. I tell people, and then they forget.
That's crazy.
Sure. But like, yeah, I guess that's the wisdom before my time story. But it's a good deal, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I make it through it and I have like a regular length life, like, it's a if I die, like, it's probably a wash. But like, if I if I live like another 20 years, like, I've learned a fucking bunch, like, almost dying in my early 40s, you know, like, there's huge like shit that I appreciate about the world that I wouldn't have gotten until my 60s or my 70s.
Amazing. Well, you guys need to fucking hustle that podcast, because that's like that episode that you guys did on how to die or almost die. You guys need to hustle that shit.
I think it's out.
Yeah,
I know, but you gotta hustle it. You gotta
crank them out.
I just don't know where to hustle.
You gotta send it to like an NPR type situation, and just be like, oh, here's
see,
the.
But there's so many people that got stories like mine, though. It's amazing.
Yeah, you but know? That's because it doesn't fail to capture the ever the human imagination or the sense of empathy maybe well.
But that's like, one thing, and you'll find that probably as you guys get older too. Like as you start having ailments of your own that are serious that you like to walk around and tell strangers about because like you don't feel well and you like to explain that to people that are not sick of hearing about it.
I mean, I had her like horrific back problem.
That's right.
Like about two and a half years ago, that like was like debilitating.
Wow.
And I felt like chronic pain at one point. Like luckily for me, like it was weird. Like the worst year and a half of my life of just straight pain. All the time.
Hmm.
But when I got the surgery, it's like basically I was young enough to like my body could repair itself.
Great.
So
that's
it's
great.
Like I got it, but I still have to be like, I'm trying to be more like on top of it.
And
not be fucking stupid. You guys want to talk about some clips?
Let's do it.
Yes. Let's get on the clip train.
All right, guys.
You brought us some clips.
So how are we going to have the folks at home like join in with this? Are we going to like,
well, so I've got a plan where
Spenny's got a plan.
We're going to capture the audio from the videos.
Okay.
And we can play it while we react in real time. Kind of like what we do with the hitter shit, where we'll
just like put it in at post.
Mm-hmm. Put it in post.
Okay. So, are we going to get double audio though when I play it on this computer and we're talking into these things, or we're going to get like,
let's do a test and see like how much it picks up. Cause we should be able to hear.
So we might need to turn like this way. Or
well,
over,
and it could be okay if you hear a little bit, that way we know where to line it up
for
the
sure.
video. That's so true. I think it'll actually be okay.
Okay.
It'll be all right.
Okay. Cool.
I want to start. All right. Let me just introduce here. My favorite sport is basketball, and no one does basketball better than the NBA. And it is it's a relentless soap opera. Outside of the game itself, mm-hmm. like I love the game, and then I've grown to love the relentless soap opera, even though. Because it's
the drama.
It's an economy. The sports journalism economy is just hot takes, and people wildly overreacting to sort of specific events and incidences, and really frustrating to listen to sometimes.
It's the format that's taken over mainstream.
It sounds familiar.
Sports journalism is that thing, but it's fine in sports journalism because it's just a fucking game.
Right.
It's a game where like these like just absurd specimens of human physique do impossible things
regularly.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there's always really there's always something funny happening, and even more so now because of just the amount of coverage. And so there's a lot of interesting characters, and I'd like the first clip to watch is the one of Kawhi Leonard, and that's the second tab there on the screen. So do you guys know about Kawhi Leonard?
Is he the one who thinks the earth is flat?
That is Kyrie Irving.
Oh.
So Kawhi Leonard is a 2014 NBA champion with the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay.
Don't play yet, Greg. We just got
It's not all the way at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's making my OCD tick.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's not
no,
all the way.
No, I respect
it's
that.
It's not all the way at the beginning, Spencer.
Okay, well, we'll fix it. Don't worry.
It's going in your review.
Don't worry, Craig.
Okay.
We're going to hit your reviews here
just
soon.
Just talk over him.
So
it's okay.
Just here, quick backstory. Kawhi Leonard is from California. He's from L.A.
Okay.
2014 NBA champion, perennial all-star, one of the five best players in the league. Did not play basically all of last season due to what was purported to be nagging injuries, but was really just because he didn't want to play for San Antonio Spurs coach, team president Greg Popovich. Also Greg Popovich for president. So he basically sat out the whole year because it's a player, we're called the player empowerment era, where the players can just sort of do what they want. And he just like sort of sat out and basically forced them, the San Antonio Spurs, to force them to trade him in the offseason to the Toronto Raptors. And characteristically of Kawhi Leonard, he is like, basically picture Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator on the basketball court. He's an unthinking, unfeeling basketball machine. He's good. He's incredible.
Okay.
But he basically, he has this, he's just like a, there's no other way to say it. He's just like a fucking machine. He's an incredible, incredible athlete. And he is also, he's extremely quiet, but he's a superstar. It's very interesting. Most of these superstars have these like personalities, but he's just so reserved and so quiet. So there's so much speculation last year. What's going on with Kawhi Leonard? This like saga of injuries, but he doesn't say fucking shit ever. Wow. And he's just quiet the whole time. So this clip that we're about to listen to is the press conference for the Toronto Raptors. It's his first time speaking in public in over a year.
Okay.
And a reporter asks him a question. And I just want...
I'll make sure the volume's all the way up.
Yourself? And what would you like people to know about you?
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. I mean, it's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
He's right there.
Yeah, the glasses. There you go. Right.
Okay, you can pause it. You can pause it now.
Wait.
Okay, so basically,
I'm a fine guy. Is that what he said? He said, fun guy.
He said, I'm a fun guy.
I'm a. In the most deadpan voice, like I'm a fun guy.
So basically, that of course. Wait, Matt. Wait. Craig, what was your opinion? What's your reaction to that? Statement of I'm a phone guy.
My feeling is that this individual is one of those folks that has spent so much of his developmental years like perfecting a skill that he has neglected any sort of like human interpersonal behavior
that
works, and this is the best that he can do. Like, he doesn't even know what fun is. I mean, I doubt that guy knows what fun is. You know, he just
fun
knows
is
like
basketball. Waking up at 6 a.m. and shooting hoops until 9 a.m. Then you break for lunch.
I think that's so good. That's such perfect analysis. But it also supports the perception that he's just a machine.
Oh yeah,
he's just a dominant basketball machine.
Mm-hmm. He was manufactured in a lab somewhere.
I think he's more like the basketball's Manchurian candidate, Denzel Washington, his son, John David Washington, was like a very promising athlete when he was in high school. John David Washington like played NFL football, and he was also like a very talented basketball player.
Okay.
So John David Washington would play Kawhi Leonard because they both lived in LA.
Okay.
And Denzel Washington describes like seeing high school version Kawhi Leonard just destroy at basketball. And so I think this is maybe where the Manchurian candidate angle comes in. I think he was drafted by the Pacers, but traded to the Spurs. And then I think the genius of Greg Popovich, because he is I think 5 or 6-time NBA coaching champion, just incredible. But I think he programmed... I think he brainwashed or programmed Kawhi Leonard to be like, to just be like murder. Like, because like this guy's like one of the best two-way players. Just like his skills offensively and defensively, it's rarely do players have both of them as well as he does, as like elite as he does. So I think his way of leaving the Spurs and doing that whole thing is he's trying to get out from under. There's like a human being in Kawhi Leonard that's desperate to, so he's just like, and then, you know, he's desperate trying to, he's trying to break out of his programming, but he's still, but it sounds
like you earlier with your artistic career, you're trying to get out of that trouble artist thing and getting into that productive member of society thing. And he's trying to get out of the machine and be like a full, like Pinocchio wants to be a real boy.
Oh my God.
I want to feel human.
He's sick of Geppetto. He's ready to go.
Dude. Whoa, that was amazing. And so what do you guys make? Can we roll that clip back and just take another listen to his laugh?
Yeah. Oh, yes, by all means.
I mean, it's just more questions to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
Whoa.
He's right there.
It's like, what does that remind me of? It's like someone who knows that they're supposed to laugh or something, but they don't act. But he was actually like, where are you sitting so that I may address you? And the guy literally had to point out to him, like, he's right over there. He's like, oh, thank you. Like, it was like he didn't know, ha, 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 ha. You know, it was like, initiate laugh sequence, ha, 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 ha. It was fucking so stilted and just weird.
Yeah, it's,
it's so bizarre.
Right, because he's become, like, Kawhi Leonard's become a meme. Like he's like this like obviously went viral because it's so funny, and so there's so many like memes of just like sort of like asterisk simulates human emotion, and then the picture of like just that screenshot of him just going like and it's just like, but it's like I don't know, I feel so like, I don't know, man. I just, maybe this struggled to become human thing is all just a like little invention of my brain. But I wish it were true. So, cause I just feel like, oh, like you can do it.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a like, great, it's a great sport like, story.
Like what if he just retires? Like what if he just like wins another championship, retires early and just starts teaching kindergarten? Cause like he really ever wanted to do was teach math to children. like what if, and but he was just like, but they're just like, no, Kawhi, you have the body of a fucking Greek hero, right. And his motherfucking hands.
Yeah,
have you seen? There's a picture of this guy's hands. It's just
wow.
He's got like his hand.
What position does he play?
He plays power forward.
Okay,
but like I think like from like palm to fingertip. Like his hands are like 18 inches long.
Wow.
Like absurd.
Jesus.
Like, and that's not an exaggeration. It's legitimately like about 18 inches long.
Wow.
It's like alien hands.
He's like, he's totally
alien. I hope he becomes completely human. I really do.
I'm rooting for him, dude.
I do.
This is very bizarre.
What do we got on deck next?
One of my favorite players. Okay. The next video I'd like to watch is with Kenneth Faried. That is the first one. So. Basically, Kenneth Faried, let's just do quick spiel. Kenneth Faried, not really, you know, not an elite player, not Kawhi Leonard. He was recently bought out by the New York Knicks and traded to the Houston Rockets. And he actually had kind of really nice when this happens. Every NBA player is really good.
Is he playing a Korean expo game or something here?
No, that's part of the Rockets alternate jersey.
Oh,
the Houston have some sort of connection with China, gotcha. So they're have these like Chinese characters on some of their symbol on some of those jerseys. Okay. So Kenneth Faried has recently had kind of more of like a breakout season because he's in the right situation to like sort of show his skills. Sometimes with players who get a rap of being bad, sometimes they are just out of their prime and shitty, but he's like a young guy. He just needs to, he's found a really nice system where he can be good in. So this was like maybe a month ago. No, yeah, it was the beginning of this month. And he just had a really good game. And really the only thing germane in this clip is the first fucking like 6 seconds. So,
okay.
Basically, what I'd like to ask you guys, all these people are at work. Let's just keep that in mind. This is a post-game conferences that work. Uh-oh. And just to describe the video, Kenneth Faried is being interviewed by a obviously audibly female reporter. And let's just keep in mind, this is at work.
Oh, you should, I think you should turn it up. It might be quiet.
Yeah, volume. Nice.
Kenneth, fifth double-double in the last six games. Do you feel as good as you look?
All right, pause.
I feel normal. I feel like that.
Okay, did you guys catch that?
What? No, not really.
Just go back.
What did she ask?
Let's listen to it again. Listen to it. Listen to it very carefully.
I think I have an idea what she said.
Kenneth, fifth double-double in the last six games. Do you feel as good as you look?
Pause.
What?
Pause. Okay.
Do you feel like it's going to change your life?
No, no.
Do you feel as good as you look?
Do you feel as good as you look? And then wait, but you can just play. Now listen to his response. Do you feel as good as you look?
I feel normal. I feel like that coach tested me, my teammates tested
me. Okay, pause. Now, you'd have to watch the video to see how fucking uncomfortable this man by that question. So the question I want to ask you guys, does this qualify as workplace harassment?
No.
No.
Because, doesn't qualify.
No. Because they work for two separate institutions. One of them works for the Houston Rockets, and the other one works for the television station. And you can't have cross-company sexual harassment.
Okay, so not workplace harassment.
You can maybe, like, he could maybe, like, do a civil suit against her for something along those lines, but it would be outside of her company. Might be liable for that sort of thing, but it would be not like a work,
not a workplace.
I think this is probably an ignorant thing to say, but if the sexes were reversed, I think it would be different. It would be a little bit workplace, like people would be, if he was like, "You, do you feel as good as you look?" You know, like people would be like, "No, no."
Still, it would maybe workplace harassment, but I guess it could be if her company decided to go after her for doing it before this video, they could go after it for that, because she is like sexually harassing someone while she's working for them.
Do you feel as good as you look?
Here's the thing: I'm not sure if this game was nationally televised. So the way that a lot of these basketball companies work is that they're also media properties. So they have reporters who work for them, and basically like.
Okay.
Like, so basically, like, for example, like
Rockets TV Houston or something like that.
Yeah, they have there's like an affiliate station, but the broadcasters and the reporters who are on the games, like giving like the sideline reports and commenting on the game, they may not be like under the Houston Rockets, but they might be like an affiliate, because basketball companies are also media properties, and in some cases
contractual group that would be liable for the parent company would be liable for that behavior.
I don't think this is workplace harassment, and I think even if the sexes were switched, it's still what I think this is a great example of is the very. Like when this happened, everyone thought it was funny. But what it is it's the very interesting and subtly ways that it can be socially acceptable to be creepy. It doesn't really matter the kind of like sex or not, because like the sexes or not.
Right.
Do you feel as good as you look? Like that's just it's
very subtle.
It's not like cat calling, which is like sort of obnoxious and
right.
It's like just that's just like a very greasy,
it's
slippery
tagged on to kind of the end of a question, like just kind of slipped in there.
I believe it's like the fifth double-double in six games. Tell me, do you feel as good as you look? Like, it's just kind of greasy.
It's not even a question. It's like a statement. It's like, you did well.
It's like a pickup line.
Yeah.
It's like a bad pickup line.
It's a bad pickup line.
Yeah, it's like a dirty uncle or like a creepy...
Yeah.
It's a creepy old man that you would say to like some, you know, creepy old man behind the counter at a convenience store. that sort of deal.
But it's an attractive, mm-hmm. Young lady.
And the way
news reporter.
The way I didn't catch what she was saying at first, the way she kind of slurred the line leads me to believe she knows. Like she kind of knows that.
Ooh, maybe
you know,
a little slippy thing.
She was just trying to get it out there, like sneak it in. I don't know, but
yeah, maybe she was a little bit.
I don't think it's workplace harassment though.
No, it's not.
Yeah. But I think...
But it's greasy and fucking weird.
It is greasy, and it did make him visibly uncomfortable.
I mean, if she did that every time that she interviewed him after the game, like, then it's workplace harassment.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And if he said, like, hey, let's not do that anymore. Yeah. Let's like, have that sort of, you know?
What if they have a relationship off of...
Oh!
What if they have one, and she's just, like, fucking with him, you know? Like she's trying to get to him.
I like conspiracy Spencer.
seeing if she can make him crack on camera, you know. And later they're gonna be like, "Oh,
let's watch the rest of the video, see if we detect any of that sort of thing."
Enough. Okay, with that
lens. Unconscious.
You know what I love to do, and that's rebound the ball, and I know how to score. Most people don't think I can, but I know how to score the ball too.
When you're going up for some of those rebounds against some of those bigger guys, how have you been able to be so effective?
I just use my smarts, you know. I've been playing basketball for so long, and I've just been playing against guys that's bigger than me, sometimes stronger than me. Like, but I try to use my speed, and I try to make sure no big is faster than me. They can't get to the ball quicker than I can. So, and my reaction time also. So, me and my agility and speed, I try to use that a lot, especially against
No.
bigger guys.
I don't get it.
Yeah,
well, no. So that's the thing is that like it's a very typical example of a non-insightful. Like clip of a player,
yeah.
Just recapping
post game, yeah. Like it's just like
this is that tiny.
The only thing that was interesting was the first, because mm-hmm. you know it's just like how did you basketball? Basketballed more than the other people who basketballed, and basically basketball is a game of who basketballs more.
There it is, yeah.
And it's just like. Yeah. It's always interesting. But as a basketball junkie, I always love it.
I just thought maybe there'd be some signs of like the prolonged eye contact with the reporter or any of that sort of thing that would hint that maybe there was a little bit more, because that is a possibility. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
I like that. I like that.
I'm holding on to that one. Nice. That's just going to be my little personal.
All right, that was an interesting one.
Okay, cool. So we got one more.
So what's the
last one, which is our bit of. Cringe.
Oh.
Is the last clip here. Now, I know this made the rounds, but I asked Spencer and he said he hadn't heard it, but basically this is a Fox News host interviewing I guess this is some woman who works for CNN, an analyst at CNN. I guess it's a new political news program. This is like what's happening.
Okay, but it's coming from Fox.
Yeah, this is the host of the show works for Fox.
Gotcha.
I've chosen to cross different parts of the media world, done the work so that I'm qualified to be in each one. I never considered my color the issue. I considered my qualifications the issue.
Well, David, you know, that's a whole nother long conversation about white privilege and things that you have the privilege of doing that people of color don't have the privilege of.
How do I have the privilege of white privilege?
David, by virtue of being a white male, you have white privilege. This whole long conversation, I don't have time to get into.
Ariva, I hate to break it to you, but you should have been better prepped. I'm black.
Okay, then I stand.
See, you went to white privilege. This is the falsehood in this.
No.
You went immediately with an assumption. Your people, obviously, or you didn't look. You're talking to a black man who started out in rock radio in Boston, who crossed the paths into hip-hop, rebuilding one of the greatest black stations in America, and went on to work for Fox News, where I'm told apparently blacks aren't supposed to work, but yet you come with this assumption and you go to white privilege.
David,
that's actually insulting.
You can stop it here. It's like there's not that interesting after this.
Well, the whole white privilege thing is insulting.
David, can I apologize?
Oh, God,
I want to apologize. I was given wrong information about you, and I apologize.
But based on my color, you were going to something that I was part of. And just to add to it, my family background is white, black, Indian, Arawak, Irish, Scottish. I mean, it's so diverse. I'm like the UN when it comes to this. And this is part of the problem with driving a narrative around a construct like white privilege. Privilege is one thing. We're applied wealth, economy, various social factors, but not necessarily determined by color of skin.
Oh, boy. Oh.
That was a doozy, of a cringe. Yeah, I just wanted to. What do you? So first of all, just the moment where he's like, "I hate to break it to you, but I'm black" is super funny.
I didn't know what was going on at first, like. Just because when she started bringing that up, when she started going down that path, I was like, no, she couldn't actually like pull the full blown like white privilege card on this guy, like, and she and she does, and yeah, they gave her the wrong information. That's what she said.
Somebody got fucking fired.
Oh, that's really rough.
Because that I honestly feel, I also feel really badly for that lady. Because, like, she just got fucked.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, like, maybe it was partially her fault for not doing, like, more research or guess. But, God, that's so fucking embarrassing.
Yeah.
It would be so fucking embarrassing to be on the other side of that.
Oh, man. Because especially in those kinds of pundit-y situations, it's like a tank of sharks, you know? And they want you to slip up so they can just, you know, and doing that on Fox News, you just serve them up like this heaping, steaming platter of clips that they can just like, yes. Like when they saw that, when the producers saw that, they had to just be like, oh my God, like just fucking they just jizz came in their pants. Yeah.
Now, what exactly was she saying that the white privilege was that he had achieved that position that he was in Fox News? And I didn't catch what they were talking about, beginning.
I'm not sure the context of it, but I imagine it had something to do with like him having a platform or something.
Being a successful, I honestly don't know.
But that was just like context-wise, I can only assume that's what they were talking about. But maybe it's about something else entirely.
Yeah, it's
Oh boy!
Did you feel the cringe there, Craig? How did you feel
the cringe on several levels, and I just there's something about like without knowing all of it, I still feel like maybe it's like a manufactured thing. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know who she is either. You know,
man, so I hadn't heard of the fucking guy.
Either of them. You know, as far as I know, they could be like paid actor and actress to like do this whole thing.
False flagged.
This
could be. We could easily figure out if it's not.
Yeah,
sure.
I think it is a real thing. I remember seeing this headline kind of floating around with that name, David Webb, and something about white privilege, but I didn't like.
I wonder if there's another David Webb that would fit the same sort of like profile that they found on the internet. That is a white guy.
Like
they
mix it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's something.
Look,
there's
he's white.
Something.
He's white on this website. That's the wrong one.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a farce.
And then they're the ones being racist in the sense that like they automatically assume that it's the white guy that they're going to be debating from Fox News.
And it had to be on the phone,
rather than the possibility of it being a black person that they're interviewing. Yeah, it's a radio interview for sure.
Radio.
It has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't have seen each other,
right?
You know,
right? Because if she like looked at him in the face and was just like, "Well, it's because you're white,"
he has an extremely Caucasian voice too. You have to admit that he does have extremely Caucasian.
That's
voice.
One thing. Yeah,
there's the language coding thing, and it's a funny thing of like how that dude does code to our earballs. Mm. He codes white. Mm.
But again, like I think that white white privilege thing is really like kind of an easy go-to argument for people that don't want to think too hard about things a lot of times. You know, I think there's something there, you know, I do.
Yeah.
But like I do think it's a go-to for a lot of people that just want to kind of like not argue about what you want to argue about. And they want to kind of get it into that personal attack sort of undermine the logic of your words for your background is an inherent breakdown
of logic.
Yeah,
it's an easy go-to.
What is it? Ad hoc, proctor hoc, or whatever. That's the fallacy of logic, you know, by discrediting someone's argument because of who they are. You know, Charles Manson can argue that the Earth orbits the sun with the right thing, and that can be right even though he's a horrible person.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, that is exactly. Logically sound. Hmm. So
that is interesting that, like, that technique of, because it's just like, yeah, but it's always this thing of, like, I think this is funny because Fox News has an ideology, mm-hmm. and it has a perspective that it perpetuates mm-hmm. with and with it, along with its interests, and then the like radical progressive people have their ideology and their mm-hmm. interests that, and it, what's funny about this is it's just like what, this is one instance where those ideologies clash, and then it favors the like. It favors the assumptions of Fox News in this mm-hmm. in this instance because mm-hmm. like, whoever was on that woman's team was not doing their proper research, and then it's also where just like the superficiality and the assumptions of things like they just fall apart, and it's like the problem with both of those ideologies, I think, like. Is where they like, or in any ideology where it masquerades as having like a depth of explanation, like this accounts for, like the whole world, and it's like probably not, like
probably not.
Yeah, yeah. You have a line of thought like created by people. It's impossible for it to be complex enough to regard every possible situation.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's like. That's like what that was to me. That was just like what was like funny, and it was just like, this is where in the bullshit culture war that we are like in the middle of. This is one where the Fox News ideology gets to check one in the W, but it's like really we're all losing. So
yeah,
yeah.
Well
yeah.
I think it's kind of like the broken clock is right twice a day, kind of
yeah.
a thing.
Yeah,
you know where, yeah. Most of the time you tune into Fox News and it's just, you know. People with the veins in their foreheads, like yelling about it, immigration or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is a great example of how that kind of logic, or at least that argument, can quickly fall apart under the wrong circumstances, or how it just is like, how it just seems silly. Like it just seems too simple, I guess, like an explain right. away yeah. type of a situation. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny that it's gotten to the point where this could even happen, you know, like where this could even like where this could even be set up to have to happen at all, where it's just completely comical. Like all the circumstances had to be perfect too. Like it had to be yeah. a black guy who kind of sounds like a white guy, you know, and they couldn't yeah. have seen each other, and she had to maybe be particularly on that train that day or
yeah,
something, you
for
know?
Sure. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it is like beautiful. It's like a,
yeah, cringe. That's
like,
why it's
yeah.
I wonder if Fox News were the people that were gave her the information about who she was going to be interviewing or not.
Oh, like a sabotage?
Yeah, yeah maybe. Because they do bring in, like, we're talking about the liberal retard that they bring in right before you
like
arrive.
When Tucker Carlson's arguing with, like, it's basically a homeless dude that they found on the street and, like, put into professor clothes, and he's
are
like,
"Are you kidding me?"
It's not actually, but
well, they always have the token liberal on like their talk shows. That is just yeah. like, "Whoa, I like stuff."
They
and,
get the
like,
most
you know,
wacky.
The fire's hot, kids, yeah. and like, don't you know? They're just total morons, yeah. and that's so the person, funny. Like this straw man that they set yes. up.
That's so,
and
awesome.
They do that. So like
so
they kind of
they're like, "I don't believe in borders, and I don't believe like I see in all." Black and white, but white is bad. I don't know. They'll just talk nonsense.
So they have people that are out scouting for like potential pundits from the liberal side that are like really like ready to over, you know, ready to accuse things and are hotheads, like maybe this gal was, and they get her set up, and they're like, oh well, you're going to talk to this guy, and
oh,
you know,
man.
He's an old guy from Fox News, and just let her maybe think that he's a white guy, and that it sounds like that.
That's some
and boom.
Oh, yeah. I would like that even more yeah. than this. Mm-hmm. I would like that a lot mm-hmm. more than I like this because it's funny, but that's way more devious.
Yeah, and that ties into the war aspect of culture war. Like they're setting up traps yeah. and elaborate plans.
Well, this is like why, like I, you know, this is why this this is why the Republicans are winning. They're way better at this like shitty chess than like than the Democrats are. The Democrats are not good at this kind of like.
Well, I think it's like the
gerrymandering. Like Democrats would never think of gerrymandering, but like only like a fucking like weird fucking pencil neck with an American flag pin in his like double-breasted suit would think of gerrymandering.
Yeah, it's. They are.
I would love to be proven wrong. It was actually like a bleeding heart, dude.
I don't know,
but the Republicans, I mean, the Republicans do know what they want, and they move towards those goals. And a lot of times, like liberals are so hard to like. It's like herding cats.
But I feel I didn't think it was always this way. Like it never seemed like when we were growing up, it seemed like liberals were this, you know. Source of reason and just like nice decent people who you know kind of just believe reasonable things and just want everyone to kind of get along, and it's like both sides are wacky as fuck, like back then it was way the Republicans were way more into the religious stuff and the anti-pot and gays are bad and shit like that,
other dumb shit,
but it's like they dropped those flags a little bit. Like the Republicans have kind of dropped
strategically,
but on the left they're really like trying to die on some of these hills that they've chosen. And I'm like, ooh, like I don't know if that's the right spot. Like even just from a strategic standpoint, and I think that's why, in some ways, like they planted their flag in like the emotional moral high ground of like we will be on the right side of history. You are a terrible person. You are like a racist and all of the isms or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you go in this, if you're on the other side or whatever, right, if you're on the camp, right. In that camp. And, I think that's like, that's just wasn't a smart move. I think,
well, I think what's going on and with like my perspective when like talking to my folks too, like for a long time, like the conservatives were the ones in charge in America, even on the liberals and the Republicans, it was both pretty conservative on both sides. And the beginning of the hippie movement was kind of like that counterculture. And it took 25, 30 years before the values of that counterculture started to become politically dominant in America. And that started it in about Clinton, sometimes during Clinton, but like up until that point, like they were the underdog and they were the ones that were always trying to build their support. And if they won, it was because they compromised and they appealed to that conservative base. And they always had to like kind of like play by the rules that conservatives set up. Like you had to appeal to religion, you had to appeal to patriotism. Like all of the Democrats that were elected in those years all had to do that same song and dance that they don't do now, if you notice. But like the tide switched sometimes in the 90s, early 2000s, where it became primarily liberal dominant. And instead of using like religion and their various conservative tools to control society, the liberal majority is using like all of this, I don't know, it's like an Orwellian sort of like controlling of the way that you talk about stuff and the way you think about things and like this gender identity and like all of these other, like it's almost like instead of religious guilt, we get like culture guilt and all these things, but we're still like this puritanical like bunch of Americans doing the same shit. And that's why the Republicans are now like more appealing to people, because like they're the ones that are the underdog and they don't have to control anybody. They can just like be appealing and like, oh my god, all we do is just want everybody to like
eat your corn dog,
yeah, and have a good time and kind of relax a little bit and let's get a good job and like just whatever, you know, and like let's not worry about all this sort of stuff and let's just kind of be tough and stop trying to save the world. They have like kind of an appealing message when everything else is turning into like 1984, you know, because whatever side you get going, like you head towards an unappealing thing no matter which side's in charge. And it kind of goes through this cycle, and I think that it's kind of reaching a maximum on the liberal side now, you know.
Yeah.
And Trump's a reaction to that, and that's why Trump's so Because he's kind of like the spur, like in the middle of like the height of like all of the liberal as far as the culture goes. He's like this big like FU. And yeah. I think the internet made that possible in the way that, you know, everything was so divided. It was like a unique thing that he got to be this big thorn in the ass of like the wave of way things are going. Mm-hmm. And the way things are still going. I mean, it's not slowed down. If anything, right. he sped it up on the grassroots level. By being such a jackass.
Yeah.
But like it's gonna go another direction, you know what I'm saying? Like teenagers yep. naturally revolt, and it just takes 30 years.
Yeah. I think about more and more is just like can't we just like solve problems? We have so many problems like at a hand, and there's this really big one coming up, which is called AI job automation, that's gonna like fucking completely flip how a human being functions in an economy. Mm-hmm. And that is gonna be huge, especially because like the fucking like the thermostat that we put on like the, I can't think of the word for like the, it's not like a thermostat's for a house. Mm. And then what's the thing for people you put under your tongue? What's that
thermometer?
Called? Thermometer. Thank you. Thermostats for house and thermometers for people.
I did it. Thermometer. So, yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like the thermometer of like the U.S. economy is always like jobs. And like when all the jobs are done by robots and there's still fucking 400 million of us, it's going to be like a big problem. And I just like, can't we fucking solve these problems instead of just like bitching at each other? Like,
do you know who?
God, so
do you know who Andrew Yang is?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He's kind of like the guy, but he's just like, he's just so fucking like, he's just, it's unfortunate. He's such an outsider.
Yeah. Because
it's just like, he's not gonna get co-opted.
Yeah.
Because our fucking bullshit Pepsi Coke politics, just like Pepsi Coke taste test.
Yeah.
It's fucking syrup water.
They both kill you quick.
Don't tell them that they're the same.
But I just can say that, like, you guys, just from the little, I mean, if I know Spence, but, like, just from the little I know you two and everything, you guys are way more conservative than I was at your age. Mm. You know, I mean, it's as far as, like, you know, where it all sat. Like, I was way more liberal.
Because, like, during high school, I would say I was pretty, like, as liberal as it gets, or at least flirting with all the most liberal of ideas, you know. And I guess it does go to what you were saying about the rebellious aspect of that just conservatism holds now in our culture, which just is like crazy.
It's super
to think.
Funny.
It's funny.
It's you never think that, being conservative is somehow punk rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself conservative at all.
But it's always sentiments of it's always. I mean, like the biker gangs and the Hell's Angels and like people that have come back from war disenfranchised, and that is a common American sentiment that like it's not necessarily anti-patriotic, but it's kind of like this common sense, sick of the horse shit. Like we're gonna kind of do it on our own or whatever, that I kind of feel like that I get more from like a certain segment of the millennials that aren't like just frothing at the mouth and just repeating whatever they've heard most recently to be the thing that they have to be fucking pissed off about, you know, because they do go through like people are just working in retail, like people are like, you get told that you should be mad about something, and my God, some of them fucking get mad about it.
Sure.
You know, and they don't have any idea about how it affects them or why they should be mad or anything like that.
Yep.
They're just on board and they're pissed. Mm-hmm. And I understand that they're pissed, but like
sometimes it's good to be mad about stuff.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times like people are just mad about the way society works and
mad
how
to be
it's
mad. Kind of a thing.
Well, not mad to be mad, because there's a lot to be mad about, you know, like this look around the society and living in this, and like we have heightened like levels of suicide and loneliness and disenfranchisement, and we're missing out on a lot of the great things that are being about being human. and we don't know how to fucking make it better, and it just keeps going more and more out of control, and like everywhere we look for any sort of like guidance, it's just like this injection of fear and panic. There's a lot to be fucking upset about, but it's just that placing that upsetness, and that's like what one of the things that the media does, especially like the liberal side, and they're excellent at that. Like,
well,
they
I think both
put
sides do
where
it,
to
definitely.
Be sad. This is where to be sad and afraid. That's what the liberals do. And then on the conservative side, this is what to be angry about. Mm. And they cover those two sides of things. And both of those
media was different.
And both of those emotions are destructive as hell.
Dude, aren't you glad?
That's the thing I'm most mad about.
That's why this is so important. This podcast thing is because this is neither. You know, we're not making anybody afraid. I don't think right now. I mean, I'm sure
people would be.
But we're talking about serious shit.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Smitty?
Well, I was saying that I'm really glad we took that. We had that reading the media class with
Governor
in high school. Aaron and I had this.
You've mentioned it before.
Yeah, reading the media. And I really hope that that is still a class, you know, because man, does he have a lot to talk about now. But like even back then, he was showing us ads and the way that, you know, all of these things, human emotion can be co-opted to sell you something, whether it's a product or an ideology. It's like if you use the emotion that is within everyone, if you appeal to situations that are universally human, like do you like being loved, you know, or do you like your mom, or it's always very, very basic stuff. And it's so easy to co-opt.
Yeah, and that's fucked because like that was like 10 years ago, and that was an optional class.
Yeah.
And like after like coming out of it, just realizing how like that it's like this reminder that our education system is broken, because like that should be. And especially in how mediated the world has become, in every single step of the fucking, in every aspect of your day, you are just barraged by media. Right. And like, we absolutely need to teach kids that shit so they can be prepared to like understand the like mechanisms of the like media rhetoric, and not just be like, it's like, XYZ happened, be mad, and they're just like, and they just are immediately there.
Yeah. That would be an amazing thing. And I've always thought that like you should teach, before you teach anybody how to like do algebra or anything, you teach them how to do like a household budget, you teach them how to like pay taxes, you teach them like what the different kinds of interest rates are, you teach them about credit cards and how those works and how those work against you. And so
we have
all
none
of
that
stuff. Yeah. So you have
absolutely
like
none.
A consumer informational course that would go along that like just how you exist in the world, like what the different investment things that you're being sold.
I forget.
So needs to be a thing.
I was talking
Holy
to
shit.
Someone about this, and it was like how economics class, you know, is, well, John Maynard Keynes invented a Keynesian school of economics, and what was the date? And they're like, 1854, or whatever the fuck it is. And they're like, very good, you know economics now. You know?
It is, kind of.
And you're like, supply side, demand side, I don't know which is which, like what they mean.
One goes up, the other goes down.
Yeah.
One goes up, the other goes down.
Yeah.
It's like, you are $40,000 in credit card debt.
Yeah.
One goes up, the other goes down.
Exactly.
But instead, like on the first day of college, you see all the tables set up from all the credit card companies ready to sign those fuckers up for their fucking first year and get them all in the yoke.
Let's not teach them about that until after we do the student loan.
Sign up for your yoke. I mean, I know fuckers that got credit cards on that first day of junior college at Casper College, and they're still, doing that deal. That's amazing.
Can't get rid of that. You can't.
Fuck that. Yeah. Well, that was great. What a fucking great clip segment,
dude.
Yeah,
I'm so
absolutely.
Fucking proud of myself.
I'm digging the clips.
Yeah.
You need to bring some more clips.
We got a clip guy.
Not only is he our clip guy, he's our sports guy, too.
Sports guy. We got
guy. We got a sports guy.
We were direly
missing, I think. That was something have none of. And we should have, because it's
part
of the universe.
We had one whole episode of sports.
I'm trying to be a recurring guest, you
Hell
motherfuckers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to insert my bullshit into your guys' bullshit.
You're doing a pretty good job.
You're doing
a damn good job of it so far.
I just want to go on really quick tangent. Mm-hmm. That's a really funny one-liner, and I think, like...
Wait, what is?
Like, you're doing a pretty good job. Like, because I love going to movies, like newly released movies, especially if they're not going to be very good, big budget type thing, and to just take note of the one-liners that, like, there needs to be three of them in the big budget movie, and they always fall flat. It's just like you take the example of the "you saved me" trope, where the protagonist is about to get, like, just sort of calamitously fucked by, like, a car or something. And then it's like, skrrpsh! Like, they block the car with another car, and it's like, roll down the window, it's supporting actress, you know? And he's just like, the protagonist just, like, is looking back, just like, bleh. And then, but she, like, looks out the window, like, you know, like, sort of, like, knowingly smiled by, you know, this incredible driving maneuver that she did, and then she just says something just like, yeah, glad I changed my brakes. it's just something that's supposed to be like, yeah, like, oh, so funny, but it's just like oh. And so that's why, like, I'd be like, you did a pretty good job. It's a perfect example.
You did a pretty good job.
You did a pretty good job. Can you deliver that line one more time?
You did a pretty good job.
That's how it's supposed to be done, right there.
That, you're trying to pull some old man magic, though.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This comes back to
because when I'm an old man, I want to be the old man who's like, you done good, kid.
So he's warming up for that.
You did good. And Craig doesn't believe that's a thing. But that's a thing.
What do you mean?
It's not a thing. Old men make you feel good by just going around and telling you congratulations on. I mean, I don't know exactly what. We never did figure.
You did good. And you're like, I don't know you. And you're like,
that's like a sort of an archetype or a trope.
And that's what,
like,
I want to be.
Is the curmudgeon-y, it's the fucking Mr. Miyagi.
But I know, but you have to be like the Karate Kid. You know, I don't think you're ready to invest in some young person's future enough to be like, you did good, kid. I think you're just going to be like cruising around like Fred Meyer, like, you did good, kid.
No,
that's really funny.
No, I'm not going to be handing them out like they're candy.
You did good, too, kid.
No.
Over here, kid.
No, it's actually special.
I'm in more of a position because I teach music to children.
You do.
So I could definitely have a lifestyle where I'm like living in like a rickety old house.
Yeah, see, you know, yeah.
And they're like, no, but he's the greatest guitar teacher, but he said he would never take another student. Yeah. And like some kid walks up and he's like, guitar lessons, mister. I'm just like,
get out of here. Yeah. And then
you,
that
you, if you, yeah, but I have to tell him to walk up the hill with his guitar on his head like 50 times. He's like, then I'll know you're ready.
Yeah.
And then I can say, you did a pretty good job.
No, you did a pretty good job is like...
That's the 2019 reading.
No, you did a pretty good job.
Dude, that was... pretty tight.
That was pretty cool.
That's a
keyword. Pretty.
That's a high B.
Yeah. You know what? You more than passed. You kind of did adequately. You did a little bit better,
bro. You kind of nailed it.
you kind of nailed it.
Qualifiers are the most important.
The pretty.
Well, yeah. Speaking of kind of nailed it, I think we kind of nailed it tonight. And probably before we hit like the 3-hour mark, we should probably say goodnight.
Yeah, thanks for coming, dude.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're always welcome.
Thank you.
Check out Mr. Aaron Stern on @diet.doom on Instagram, and you'll see a bunch of insane artwork.
Oh, yeah. What else? Guys. Anything else to plug? What else?
You got any shows, projects?
If you're in Seattle on the 28th, I'll be playing with a band called Mind Parade. That is amazing. With
Mind Parade is sick.
The very Wags.
Sick. Nice.
We are playing the Blue Moon Tavern. So if you want to see some very amaze psychedelic prog rock, we'll be playing the keyboard.
Fuck yeah. Uh-huh. Hell yeah.
And hopefully right now we have some like old school white kid hip-hop playing behind us. But we're going to let that magic take everybody home. Or we've been Idiots Disgusting Universe, and we will be again, I guess.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in the IDTU studios located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.